All right, Pat, today is my time to host. I hope you're okay with that.
Yeah, I am. passing over the virtual microphone.
There you go. Thank you very much. Well, in this episode, you're going to learn, I think, why so many B2B marketers are going to shit their pants, why they get fired, and what skill I think the number one or like the top 1% of B2B marketers already have. That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode.
Got the right ingredients for revenue growth. A pinch of effort and a dash of hope won't cut it anymore. Grab your utensils. You're about to get some high-performing marketing recipes. Welcome to Client Boost Kitchen.
I think for this specific point in this episode, this is where a lot of marketers like get off the bus. And the reason why I say that is because if we are truly being honest, how many marketers would you guess percentage-wise could actually drive a business impact for a company, regardless of their like marketing skill or marketing activity or discipline? What percentage do you think could do that of all marketers that say they're marketers today?
Like, I honestly, I would say maybe 10%.
Okay.
Maybe that's too mean. But.
It's fair. It's like your subconscious, like when you go to therapy and like that's the first thing that comes up. And I believe that's why the marketing teams or agencies or anything are the first to get the boot, like when times get tough, right? When budgets get cut and slashed as well too, because we have a really shitty time explaining our value to something that the decision makers, the stakeholders, the C-suite actually care about as well too. So if we can't actually prove that our marketing busyness or activity leads to business results, and I think, again, that's why we get the squeeze so many times. So knowing how to waterfall your goals from what the C-suite cares about, the CEO, the CFO, and to have like a defendable position around what you do, because as marketers, there is no shortage of ideas that we can do, right? But if you were to be asked by the CEO or even the CFO, quantify in your portfolio of marketing investments, which one are you most confident about and why? And what will that impact be towards like laddering up the waterfall to our revenue goal for the year or our profitability goals for the year as well too? I think a lot of marketers will be like, they can't fucking answer that, right? So if you think that 10% do not know how to make a business impact, what percentage of that 10% do you think can actually waterfall from a CBO or like a yearly budget all the way down to a cost per click, or even say, how many organic sessions do we need to get to an SQL? What percentage of the 10% do you think those are?
20%.
So 20% of the 10% is a very small, what is that? That's 2%. That's 2% of all marketers that probably have that. My hook in this episode was 1%. So we're very close and we didn't even rehearse this, right? So that's pretty cool. So let me show you. So I want to show you how we go from the macro level first, because the macro is where the levers are the biggest, right? Then we go to the micro eventually. But in between that, there's actually a middle like layer, I didn't know this, called the meso side as well too. So we had the macro metrics, the meso, and then the micro as well too. And I want to show you a default example of what it could look like for goals to be true, to be achieved. And then you start figuring out, well, what are my actuals? Like, what is the reality as well too? So take a look at this. So the first question we're going to ask is, what's the business goal and when does it need to be achieved by? And usually like a yearly financial exercise for a company, they build their budget, they figure out they want to go from this amount of revenue to this amount of revenue as well too. And they want to do it within a year, because goals are only cool if one, they can be measured, and two, there's a time component of them as well too, right? So in the example that I set over on the right, you can see it's getting from 15 million to 20 million in 1 year, for example. So how much revenue or profit is that? Well, it's $5 million in revenue. What percentage of that goal does marketing own? Because sales might be contributing, same store growth might be contributing from a customer success perspective. Like, you have to understand like what sliver of the pie are you in charge of? Let's say it's 50%. Now, marketing specific goal, 50% out of 5 million is half of that, 2.5 million, right? So now, what's our average customer value or average contract value? Let's say it's $50,000 as well too. Do we have a gross margin goal? When all things are considered in terms of what it costs to get that lead and to service that lead, what needs to be left over as well too, because you got to be able to respect that. And that's going to go factor into understanding what our customer acquisition cost ceiling needs to be as well too, right? So we skipped some steps, but to illustrate the point and also respect that this is a bite-sized recipe episode of 15 minutes, hang with me. So we're going to say the CAC ceiling is $12,500. It's 25% of the ACV. And what's important to understand here too is the gross margin on this also includes the cost to service that client, right? So once you do the marketing and the sales aspect, there are more things included as well too to really understand. And gross margin will be helpful if your clients are having profit goals, for example. Like, God bless the B2B companies out there that can actually do that these days. But be aware of that and have that skill as well too. So we jump to the MESO side as well too. Now, of the ACV of 50,000 and getting to 2.5 million in revenue, like, how many customers do we need on a yearly, quarterly, and monthly basis? Well, 50 customers times 50,000 is 2.5 million, right? And then you can basically divide that by 4 to get to quarterly and divide that by 12 to get to monthly. And you'll notice that it's 13 and 5 because it gives non-whole numbers when you divide it by that. So you have to round up. You can't get 13 and a half customers or 12 and a half customers. You got to get 13. So then you figure out, okay, understanding the CAC ceiling and the volume of customers that you need, what's the budget going to be, right? Like, what do you need to have to be able to achieve that as well too? And I think a lot of companies and a lot of marketers listening will nod their head and say, we got a new goal that's doubling the volume of like our pipeline or whatever CRM sales stage or even revenue. And we don't have an increase in like marketing budget. Now, from just that alone, it sounds scary. It sounds like we lost all sense of math and logic, but maybe try first to do the math and see, is it possible as well too? And what are the levers? And that's what this episode is going to be all about too. So you basically take the 12,500, the CAC ceiling, you multiply it by 50, and you get $625,000 for the yearly budget, right? And then you split it again, doing the same thing by quarterly and monthly as well too. And we're using this to understand pacing as well too. So next we have, what's the SQL or the final CRM stage before the close one happens, like the close rate as well too? And what's the cost per SQL ceiling? So we can compute that because we have the CAC ceiling being, we can afford $12,500 to acquire an actual customer. And so we know that 25% of our SQLs turn into customers. So that means I'm going to divide the 12,500 by 4, right? Because 25 goes into 100% 4 times. And then you keep going down. You go down to the micro stage now, which is going to be around the MQL stage or whatever the prerequisite stage is of the SQL or whatever. Everybody has their own stage name conventions as well too. You can kind of follow like stage 1, stage 2, stage 3 kind of understanding and logic. You do the same math and you start slicing it even more. So 50% of MQLs turn into SQLs. So that means that our cost per MQL ceiling is half of what the cost per SQL ceiling is. And you keep doing this down to the cost per click. Now, my question for you, Patrick, is which levers are you prioritizing right here?
Yeah, that's a tough question, right? So the main question that you have to ask yourself as a marketer is, firstly, which levers are mostly under my control, right? So when you look at that micro math of marketing, it's pretty safe for us to assume that directly as marketers, those are the things we can have the biggest influence over. Yes, we can definitely support with SQLs. We can support with closed one. But really, in terms of what we do as marketers, it really is driving that, I guess we would call it, quote unquote, top of funnel acquisition, which is more of that micro math of marketing.
Now, I have a follow-up question. If you were to, like, a same similar percentage question as before, we talk to, obviously, like, I think the majority of B2B clients and prospects that we talk to, most of their focus and effort is in paid media. Would you agree?
I would say so these days.
Maybe yeah. It's also a bias because that's what we're more known for as well too, but let's just keep going with that logic. Now, when we look at paid media, you're kind of looking at the lowest point of the micro math of marketing in this visual that you're seeing right here as well too. What percentage of their time as marketers do you believe they're spending in the turning the dials and tweaking little things in like the cost per click world and the ad world, like optimizations, versus like higher level stuff as well too, like CRO or talking to the sales team around like which customer segments are we going after that actually have higher close rates or sales stage conversion rates where the cost per ceiling is can be higher, right? Like where do you think they spend most of their time?
Yeah, I feel like I know where they spend most of their time. it's in trying to tweak those tiny dials way too much. So it's all, you know, a bid adjustment in Google Ads and thinking that this is going to in some way, you know, 2x revenue. It's not going to happen.
So here's the cool thing. So I want to make sure, again, knowing as marketers, there's no shortage to what we can do and spend our time on as well too. And we can always be busy. But again, that's why we have such a hard time communicating our value to the C-suite and defending the value that we bring as well too, because we do not want to confuse busyness with impact. You want to hit home runs. You don't want to hit first base hits. You want to actually do less work that is more impactful. You want to be more surgical here. And you want to be able to explain, if somebody were to ask that has no understanding of marketing, why did you choose that over that? Like, why did you prioritize that over that? And you should be able to come and say, because doing this first and achieving that goal will actually lead to the waterfall opening up even further, like the funnel essentially, so that we can go and achieve our goals faster, right? But most marketers don't speak in those terms. They don't speak in the data aspect as well too. And they say they're data driven, but again, it's not as cool to be data driven in the micro world as much as it is in the meso world and also the macro world. You need to be data driven in all those worlds. So
yeah,
think of through this through like impact versus effort as well too, right? There are things you can do, but things that take a long time. Rewiring your whole go-to-market strategy, including the sales team, including the customer success team, like you can do that, but that's a lot of effort. And it's a big bet that takes a long time. And if you're wrong, you're fired. Like you're not going to be there for that long, right? So you're going to want to think of the game of marketing as a portfolio of investments. And every investment needs to have an expected return or a game of roulette, right? Like you're placing your bets on different numbers as well too. And you're able to justify why you're placing those bets as well too. So if we start from the top, what I would recommend looking at is talking to the sales team and understanding, are there any customer segments that have higher sales stage conversion rates than others that still have the same CAC as other customer segments as well too? And could you go after more of that customer segment? And the reason why is because if you have higher sales stage conversion rates, the math will show you that you can actually afford a higher ceiling, a cost ceiling. That doesn't mean that you should hit that. That just means that normally you'll be below that cost ceiling and you'll get more volume out of your budget. So instead of ending the year at 50 new customers, you actually got to 60 or 70. So you're pacing ahead of the goal and you don't have to worry about always like every day is grind day. You're like under the gun all the time. Like you want to push that snowball so that you have to do, again, more impactful work and less busy work as well too. Like know your levers, right? Then I think a lot of, and we talk about this a lot too with prospects, Pat, like so many prospects and B2B companies do not have visibility. If we were to ask them like what campaigns or ad groups, keywords, content, offers like are driving like your highest or lowest like CRM stage 1 to 2 conversion rates, because they don't have offline conversion tracking, right? Or they don't trust the hygiene of the sales team, and the sales team doesn't have any rules to follow of when they have to mark things close lost, for example, and move accordingly in the stages so that the marketing team gets the correct signals and the correct insight. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, and I think I would go even a step further to a lot of marketing teams just don't have the setup to really fully even understand what's working and be able to communicate it. So I would say there's plenty of examples of prospects that come to us with decent paid ads engines in place, but there's no way for them to communicate that information to senior leaders because the infrastructure is just not in place to do it.
100%. And so if you were to be asked questions like, you know, if you had more dollars to spend, where would you spend it and why? And you don't have a good answer. That's what we're talking about here, to have that visibility, invest in that plumbing and that tracking so that if you were to be asked like, you know, how many organic sessions does it take to get to an SQL? I mentioned that earlier as well too. Or do you know which offers beyond the demo offer, like if you're doing gated content or webinars or eBooks or whatever? And I know everybody loves to shit on that, but like sometimes it does work. How do they perform all the way through the CRM? And should you continue to run them as is, right? And I think a lot of marketers, again, my hook at the beginning of this show was like, this is what's going to get you fired if you don't know how to do this, or if you just are kind of being cozy with being busy and doing the best practices and that's it, right? Now, the next thing too is, instead of obsessing over where I think the majority of our clients that come to us were spending their time before, like optimizing that micro PPC, paid media, paid social, little tweaks, are there just easy budget moves you can make, right? Because if you invested in the tracking and the insights, knowing what's working and what's not tied to your overarching goal, like the biggest lever you probably have is just like moving budget around to campaigns or ad groups or pausing things as well too. And we see that all the time as well on top of that. And when you do that, are you still respecting like your cost per click ceiling, or, and can it be lower as well too, right? Because you are creating more room to breathe. You have more traffic now coming through, which means the waterfall will give you more customers at the end of the day as well too. So that's that. And then the other thing too is, we do this thing, we'll show it here in a second as well too, this thing called the growth grid. And we see again and again that it actually mathematically makes more sense to pull out some budget to use for like CRO, for example, conversion optimization, to drive a conversion rate higher as well too. Because again, bigger lever, right? Bigger impact as well too. And I think there's two parts to that. There are companies out there, B2B companies, obviously, that have a very low conversion rate. In this example, it's like a 1% conversion rate. And then they have also a very low connect rate. So once they get that lead, finally, the one out of every 100 click, because it's 1%, their connect rate, meaning like, do they get a hold of that lead, is super shitty as well too. And like CRO can fix both those worlds as well. And I think that's really important to be aware of too. And the last thing I'll say on this is that it's many times not because of low sales performance that those initial CRM sales stage conversion rates are so low. It's just like an infrastructure or just like some simple like logical things that they don't do, like the speed to lead aspect they don't do, or you know, making sure that the even an email sequence gets fired off to get somebody to book if that's a demo that they need or whatnot as well too. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're our own best case study for this. At the beginning of the year, one of the things that we identified was doing that macro math of marketing, using data-driven attribution. We can see LinkedIn ads, for example, drives 1300% ROI versus 900% from Google ads. So yeah, this year, a higher portion of our media spend is going to LinkedIn ads than it was last year. And we're already bearing fruit from that. Like we've had exponential growth of qualified inbound traffic each month since January, and are on track to get that again in March, right? So this stuff is powerful, and that's a way more powerful move than trying to tweak, you know, bid adjustments in LinkedIn or fire off a new round of creative.
Totally. So now that you know that, you have this world of like the before and after, and the before can be your, you know, you have basically three versions of this. You have your what your goal should be that we initially showed you, waterfall down from the CBO, like the core business objective, all the way down to like the cost per click ceiling as well too. And then you have your actuals, right? And now when you have your actuals, you can see and compare what should they be and what are they. And then from there, like we talked about prioritizing which growth levers you want to get to, you can start messing around with the math and say, well, if I increase the conversion rate from the 1% it is right now to 2%, I effectively doubled it. What would then happen further down? And obviously, you'll see in the math that it always makes the biggest impact starting at the top of not the funnel, but the top of the CBO, like the core business objective, the revenue goal, and working your way down. So if you can influence increasing the close rate from SQL to close one, that's the biggest impact that you can have. And marketing from a GTM perspective does have a lot of influence in that and should collaborate a lot with the marketing team as well too, right? Because a lot of the sale is done already from a marketing's perspective as well too. So understanding the close loss analysis, why are companies not choosing you guys as well too, should reverse engineer and communicate and influence what marketing is focusing on when it comes to positioning, the pillars, the product, all these other things like should be happening. So always know that. That's the biggest lever that you have. Then from there, again, should you be spending as much time as you do tweaking little things inside, you know, the paid media accounts? Probably not compared to what you do today, right? So on the before, you see the examples that we had from the original math. And on the after, you start seeing, okay, well, if we get a higher conversion rate from the click to lead perspective, and then we also figure out that some leads are worth more they have a higher conversion rate to go to the next stage, well, then you can almost influence the waterfall going upwards as well too, right? So usually they help as well too, as you get an improvement from lead to MQL, MQL to whatever stage you have next, or SQL as well too, you should see that they actually like domino effect each other as well too. So you're creating more breathing room by going after either the higher quality traffic, because you've found the customer segments that actually have higher conversion rates as well too. And you might not even have to hit the cost per ceiling at those stages. You'll notice that in the visual, we can afford to pay more now because we've increased conversion rates. But that doesn't mean you should, because if you keep hitting the ceiling, you will still only get the 50 customers at the end. But what if you can do more? What if you can get the 50 customers at spending less than the budget, right? And what if you can take that to your CFO or your CEO and say, how do I get more? How can I set my own personal goals as a marketer in-house, either tied to business performance to get promoted or to get paid more or to grow my team or just get more budget as well too? Like, make sure you're using this newfound skill, if you don't already have it, to drive an impact that also matters to you and that you get rewarded for it as well too, right? So the last thing, or the second to last thing, I should say, is how do you quantify all the different things you can do and then stack rank them and prioritize them and say, cool, let me figure out if the current budget allocation I have today is the best spent. And this is where we mentioned earlier that many times we find that if you don't have net new dollars to increase your budget, you can use your current existing budget more effectively to drive the goals you care about by taking away some ad budget, investing in CRO. Obviously, CRO has to pay off and it has to perform as well too. So we create this thing called the growth grid and we use it at KB. And that step one is figuring out, is your current budget allocation the best way and the best spent possible? And usually it's not, right? But if it is, then the next dollar that you actually are increasing your budget by, where should that go? And what's the expected payoff? Because you're making an investment. You're making this portfolio of investment marketing bets, the roulette table. So you can go and show your CFO, hey, CFO, I think now that we have tracking and plumbing and we can understand what's impacting what, I believe that if we increase conversion rates on our site by 20%, we'll get this amount of revenue gain and this amount more customers, for example. So you can actually input everything into that waterfall of math that we showed you earlier as well too. And we'll send you in the blog post that we'll publish in the newsletter, we'll have a link to the actual calculator that you can just use as well too. And then you can go back and you can show after that the time is up, but when you say you can hit the goals by, you should also be very much aware that you need to prove that you can actually achieve those goals, right, as well too. So if you come and say, hey, I made these 10 bets and only two paid off, you know, yikes. And that's, again, back to my intro of this episode. Are you a good marketer or are you not, right? And or at least do you know how to work with other marketers that know what they're doing? Because you shouldn't be able to be, you know, an eight-armed octopus knowing how to do all these different marketing disciplines and all that stuff as well too. So, and then lastly, as you are going through and placing these bets, the best thing that we found again and again to communicate your progress to other stakeholders, especially the C-suite, the CEO, the CFO as well too, is have a macro percent versus percent goal pacer. The green line in this example is like the customer volume, for example, right? It could be the revenue as well too. And the red line is time, because goals are only cool if they can be measured and there's a time component to them. And so you can create these visuals of all different types of KPIs you're going after as well too. You can do it like if your bet was on on-site CRO, you're giving it 3 months to get a 20% lift. Well, track it. Are you doing it, right? And so you can say, which investments do I need to pull the plug on if they're not being hit as well too, as well. So a lot to say. I mean, I'm going rambling hard, Pat. Any questions, any thoughts?
Yeah. I think probably coming back to the KPI versus time graph, I think for me, one of the things that I'm hearing from marketers and seeing from senior leaders alike is that marketers really do struggle to communicate in a language mm-hmm. that make sense to boards, right? Like they really, really do. And so when you come to them with something as simple as a KPI versus time graph, it's very, very obvious to them what's happening. You're either winning or you're losing. And that's kind of the mindset that most boards are going to think in, right? And similarly, you know, coming back to the maths equation, they're thinking about macro issues. So if you can go to them and explain that reverse waterfall mm-hmm. of how marketing's, the micro of marketing contributes to the macro, you can have a much easier time of getting buy-in, of having them understand you, of having them actually get marketing, which I know is a massive frustration for probably 80% plus of B2B marketers, right?
You know, what's interesting is like, I think the prerequisite for a CEO who gets marketing is a CEO who gets logic and math, right? Because if you as a marketer, and I know there's going to be a lot of people listening, all 11 of you, because we just started, will nod your head. And no, actually we have 1,000 subscribers on the newsletter already on LinkedIn. It's insane.
It's insane.
So here's what I'll say. Before you can get a CEO who gets marketing, you need to go first and speak their language. And so what I mean by that is like, if you are doing the math and you're showing, well, this amount of customers at this CAC ceiling is, and you're not giving us a budget to do so, like how can we achieve that? And they're not willing to budge and give you the budget you need to leave. Because if they can't do that, they definitely don't give a fuck about marketing as a whole either, or get it as well too, right? So like get out the door fast.
Let me use an analogy. An actual story that happened when I was in my account manager days. So we brought the founder of a company into a call. And in this call, we were, you know, like the program was doing okay, but it wasn't dominating. And we were trying to figure out why that was. And when we reversed engineered the math, we're like, okay, crunch a few numbers, understand that the budget that we've currently been allocated allows us to reach like 10% of the audience or something like that.
Yeah.
And so when we, you know, when we as Client Boost then presented that maths to the founder, suddenly he's like, okay, well, how much is it going to cost me to reach the full audience? And so we, you know, type out a few numbers and we can give him that. And then suddenly he's more receptive because he now understands why he's not dominating in the way that he wants to. And he understands the reason why. And we didn't have to tell him about, you know, 50 different marketing principles that we didn't understand. We just had to say X and Y don't match and we need to make a match.
Yep. I think there's a lot of bridges you can build from a marketer to a C-suite perspective. But the number one most important, you have to prioritize this first, is the financial bridge and like the math of marketing as well too, right? So, and again, it puts pressure on as a marketer. Like, do you know how to drive these impact and the results from business perspective? If you don't, you can't use this. But if you're tired of, you know, being a punching bag from a layoff perspective or not promoted as well too, this is the arrow in your quiver that you need as like a step one for everything, because you can now look at everything and be like, why are we doing like conferences? Like we're not tracking shit. Like I don't see it. I don't have any qualitative or, you know, self-report attribution on anything. Like that's a pretty safe bet that I can unplug, right? So I know we're at time. We went a little bit over the bite size, but I hope you thought it was a super juicy recipe today as well too. And it needed the time to show how you then utilize some of these things to your advantage. And if you have the skill, like the takeaways from this episode are like, you're a bulletproof marketer that can defend like all decisions and plans to any stakeholder, right? You can speak the same language and it's not based off of gut or intuition. And don't get me wrong, like there should be room for creativity as well too. But when you're not the one holding the purse strings, like you got to be able to respect that language as well too, right? Knowing which growth levers have the highest impact and where you're actually spending your time, your dollars and resources, again, that's where it's laughable of how much we spend time just tweaking little dials and stuff like that as well too. And if you can deliver this to the C-suite, the waterfall math, the growth grid of the portfolio of investments and the payoff you expect, the pacing of the goal of the percent versus percent, the KPI versus time, I think you can easily get some respect that's deserved. You can increase your marketing budget. And if you're, you know, really smart, you're tying this into some black and white outcomes for you yourself to get promoted, to earn more money as well too, so that you feel like there's the biggest reason for learning the skill is complete selfishness of earning more money, essentially. So that's it. That's all I got. Cool. All right, Pat, you have nothing else to say. We'll end this episode and say thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Bye, y'all.